Thank you. If you have your Bibles, turn, if you would, please, to John chapter 4. I'd like to conclude just a few thoughts on soul winning that I've been giving to you. I've got some other things I want to share with you throughout the semester, but I want to finish this particular thought, if I can, please. John chapter number 4. Sure love you, young people. So thankful for every one of you and your faithfulness to the Lord, your tenacity to keep going through the semesters and the training and the development of your character. And I hope that you have enough wisdom and maturity to say, God, please teach me what I need to learn today so that I can apply my heart to wisdom. And I think most of you have that, and I rejoiced. John chapter 4, let's look at it real quickly. This is the Lord Jesus has, after he's talked to the woman at the well, they come to see him, and the disciples bring food for him. They offer him to eat, and he says this, verse 34 of chapter 4. Read it with me, would you please? Jesus saith unto them, he says, say not yet, there are 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look in the fields, for they are white, are ready unto harvest, and he that reapeth receiveth wages. There is a profitability to be understood here, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. Would you read verse 38 with me, please? I sent you, other men labored, and ye entered into their labors. Father, please help me in the time I have just to share a few thoughts today that I think could be helpful in practically telling folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for their heart that you've given them, and I pray you'd help us, Lord, to all have your heart to get the gospel to the ends of the earth is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, the Lord Jesus is telling us here in this passage of Scripture, when his disciples come back, he says, my meat, what fills me up, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Two things that soul winning is: it's the will of God and it's the work of God. Would you say that with me? It is the, and it is the, yeah, it's what God wants and it's what God does. Everything God does is trying to steer unsaved people into a conversation with his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. John 14, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So if the only way to get and live forever with God the Father is to come to Jesus, what does God want? He wants everyone to come to Jesus. He said, I want all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So the reason you're here today is not one day to lead a church for the Lord only. It is to be a part of the church that leads people to the Lord. That's what we want to do. We want to be soul winners. Most of you will not be pastors, especially the girls here, but you're all to be soul winners, right? Some of those girls might be a Joyce Meyer. You never know. You got to watch out. Some of these girls can preach good messages. I've heard a few night bus messages these girls have preached, and they're really good. But that's not going to be your, but you're going to be a soul winner. I'm going to be a soul winner. Everybody ought to be lifting the hand of God, or working with the hand of God to bring people to Christ. So soul winning is the will of God, and it is the, and he's the one who must draw people. No one gets saved because of my good story and my very a talented display of the gospel. Now, I'm supposed to give the gospel as clearly and as yielded to the Lord as I possibly can. I want to give it with clarity. I'm not interested in tricking someone. I'm not interested in saying, 1, 2, 3, pray after me. I want people to hear what the Bible says and give them every opportunity to personally accept or reject the gospel. Hopefully, they'll receive it. Don't want to be a tricky Ricky. No one likes someone to manipulate them. No one likes it when someone is tricking them. I think people need to be wide open with understanding to understand what the gospel is. However, I know this. When I witness to people, I'm never alone. It is the work of God. He is working behind the scenes. And you need to understand that. You can have confidence. Even with 4 trains and a parade, you can still get the gospel to 2 people that are sitting there, and you would have never spoke with them had you not had 4 trains and a parade. Now, that they may have been caused by satanic opposition, but God has Satan on a leash. He's greater than that. He can get the gospel. And that is God's goal, is to get people the gospel of Jesus Christ, to get them to his son. He uses his word, he uses his spirit, and he uses his body, the local church. People who get saved, someone from a local church gives them the gospel, and that's the Word of God, and the Spirit of God must bring conviction. We understand that. Now, with that in mind, he says, what fills me up. By the way, if you'll do this, you'll be satisfied with your life. If you'll spend your life working with God, doing the will of God, of getting people the gospel, you'll be a very happy person. God will meet your needs. He'll work with you. And that's guaranteed. A couple things real quickly. I've given you some tips. I'm going to try to finish my list real quickly in the few moments we're together. Number one, remember and reflect upon your own salvation. We've already given this just as a review. So if you're going to be a soul winner, you've got to remind yourself how wonderful it is to be saved. And share the gospel with other people. You've got to remind yourself of your own salvation. The Bible tells us that when people don't realize how wonderful it is to be saved, there's three negative byproducts. They become barren. That means they're not fruitful. Number two, they become nearsighted. They don't see afar off. They don't see the big picture. When you fail to remember the joys of salvation, you will be barren in your spiritual reproduction. You'll be nearsighted in how you view life in general. And then lastly, you are going to fail. You're going to fall. And we don't want that to happen. So we need to rejoice in our salvation. Number two, pray daily for souls. Pray daily that God would save souls, locally and globally. Pray for the countries of the world. This morning, I prayed through the Central American countries of Mexico and Guatemala and El Salvador and Nicaragua Costa Rica, Panama. Those countries in that region, they're asking God, Belize, asking God to bring the gospel there. Well, it's just, why? I'm not going there anytime soon. But that's a part of the world that God cares about. And we're going to have a servants' conference, and Spanish-speaking people from all over the world are going to come. And some of them might go to some of those places and get the gospel out. And it's part of but I'm praying for the salvation souls. I'm also praying that God will give me an opportunity to talk to someone today within my sphere of influence and share a gospel tract. I spoke to a person yesterday, and I gave them a track and talked to them about the Lord. And I want to try to do it every day. But pray for the lost, because prayer changes things. It changes me. Number three, seek the filling of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8. Number four, carry gospel tracts. Carry gospel tracts with you, and don't be afraid to give them out and let people know about that. And once again, there's three things I love about gospel tracts. Number one, they determine someone's curiosity. You can kind of tell. If you give them a gospel tract, they start looking at it, reading it, trying to look at the address. Okay, there's some curiosity there. They want to know something. They oftentimes let us open up dialogue. It gives me a chance to talk to them. If they're still looking at that, it gives me a chance to continue the conversation. And then lastly, it goes places I can't go. And it's read in hours that I cannot talk to that person. And it goes on refrigerator doors, it goes in junk drawers, it goes in someone's pocket, all kinds of places it can go that I cannot go, and I love gospel tracts for that reason. They determine someone's curiosity, they open up dialogue, and they continue. If someone says, I'm not ready to listen to that right now, I say, how about this? Occasionally I have told people, I said, look, I would like to thank you for letting me share the gospel. If you want me to stop, tell me and I'll stop. And I think maybe of hundreds of times I've said that, two people have said, you know, I think you told me I could ask you to stop. I'm ready for you to stop. I don't want to hear anymore. Well, I said, that I understand, but I'll respect your decision. Could I hand this to you? Maybe you could read about it later. One of the two people accepted. The other one says, no, I'm not interested. Well, it's no skin off my nose to some extent. I wish they would get saved, but I couldn't. It doesn't matter if I stayed there till the cows come home. They're not going to get saved. They're not ready to receive. They're not ready to accept it. But if I can give them a gospel tract, it can go places that I cannot go. The next thing real quickly is determine to try to visit and talk to someone every day. Ask God, give me a chance. I think this helped me in the year 2000. I was 32 years old. I became a pastor of a church. I was sitting in my office in Long Beach, California, 1000 Pine Avenue, Long Beach, California, thinking to myself, what do I need to do as a new pastor? And one of the things I decided early on I would try to do is try to be on someone else's doorstep every day of my life. Someone else's hospital room, someone else's office. This morning, I have been to a man's office already this morning in Cherville. I've been to a hospital room with Danny Club this morning. And I have seen some other nurses and people there in that and corresponding with not going to respond to them, but talk with them briefly. But going to where people are helps you. It gets you in the community. It also gives you exposure to people and opportunities and network of friends that you can talk to. Yesterday I talked to a lady, and she said, because I see you almost all the time. I haven't seen you in 2 weeks. I said, well, since that time I've been to Peru. You've been to Peru? Oh, that's wonderful. I thought you just fell off the planet for a while, you know. And I said, well, almost did that, you know. And he said, it was someone I didn't think would even spit on me if I was on fire somewhat, you know. I didn't know for sure how she cared about me and my family. But she said to me, she goes, no, I've kind of missed seeing you. I miss seeing you. I wonder where you are. Her and her husband, Don and Leanne, I'm praying for them to be saved. She works for the Arch Diocese of our area, and so she's definitely on the other side of the fence. I did find out the other day, she said something like, I had my mom on my iPhone, and she goes, yeah, you got to put that on your big screen at church. And I wanted to say, how do you know I have a big screen at church? Because she has looked this up, and she's probably been watching some things. But it's interesting to see that God is working. It makes me happy to know that God's doing something. There's some things I've given her, the book called Done, and given her the book Saved or Lost. And she says, oh, I'm going to give it to my mother. She's more religious than me, even though she works for the diocese. It's kind of interesting on that situation. Nonetheless, try to make a visit every day. And you may or may not do it. And the truth is, I don't do it every day. I haven't always been successful. But the more I try, the more I'm able to do it. And the more people I get encountered with, the more people I have an opportunity to talk to about Jesus. So try to make a visit on a daily basis. You're going to have to be a good listener. I gave that to you already. Be a good listener. Learn to listen to people. God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. Catch the hint. And learn to listen to people. Listen with your eyes. Listen with interest. And don't just tell them what to do. Every once in a while, I'll be with a soul winner, and they'll just talk all over the person. They don't give them a word in edgewise. All they're trying to do is get through the plan. You don't want to do that. Doesn't mean you have to listen to hours, but you want to stay on track. But at the same time, learn to be a good listener. You gather information about people that will help you understand them, especially. Keep a good prospect list. This is a new thing. Keep a prospect list of people that you're praying for salvation. If you go to a house on Saturday and you've got a section, you meet Jimmy. Well, find out what Jimmy's mom's name is. What's her dad's name? What's his dad's name if he lives with him? What's brother, sister, uncle, aunt? Put that in your phone. Put Jimmy as my prospect. And I've got Jimmy's name down, Jimmy whatever, Garcia or Hernandez or McCloskey or whatever you want. You put his name down. Now, underneath that, he's my prospect. And now I've got his phone number, I've got his address, and I'm learning things about him. He just finished junior high. Okay, he's not yet saved. I witnessed to him on this date. He didn't come to know the Lord yet. Whatever, I'm putting some notes down, and I'm keeping a prospect list of people, where they are, when I saw them last, who they're related to, where they were. I've got those down. So when I see them again, now I have some interest in them. I know their name. I know something about them. And I can't remember. Someone said a short pencil is better than a long memory. And sometimes just putting some things down on a piece of paper, on a bulletin on Sunday, for years, a bulletin for me is a place I scratch down names of people and phone numbers and how I met them, because one day I might see them again. If I say their name, if I write it down, that's two ways I can maybe remember better that information. If I know their mom or their dad or the situation, now they'll say, and it's on purpose. I love them. I want them to be saved. So I'm taking information so I can relate to them and find out, how is your mom? How is your sister? Had a lady the other day give me a paper for her sister that was sick, her sister eventually passed away. But I saw her Sunday, and I said, you know, I heard Eileen passed away, and I'm so sorry. She said, Pastor, thank you that you would care to remember that. And, you know, just it's something that had I not written it down, had I not kept the note in my Bible for a little bit and prayed about it, I would not have remembered. Things we can do to keep a prospect list. As some people call it a sweetheart list. It's something you're working on. And some folks will fall off that in time. Some folks will, you know, they'll say, you know, bug off, don't bother me again, I don't want to do that. That happens to me, and it happens to anyone who's an avid soul winner. When that happens, I keep them, but I'm not going to bother them. I might occasionally send them a text, or I might occasionally drop them a note in the mail, but I want to move with the movers. Next thing real quickly on that, and that is, engage in conversations and then try to get the gospel in. Your conversation, you meet with people, somewhere along the line, try to get at least a tract in their hand, at least a gospel presentation, at least a word about Jesus. This is the purpose for conversation. Then, I would say also, be a good testimony for Jesus. You know, people don't trust you. They do not trust what you tell them. If you badmouth the boss, you don't work hard at work, you're going to have a hard time winning people to Christ. Your testimony is much louder. You know the little statement we say here when 1 Timothy chapter 4, our sermons whisper, but our life, yeah, who you are is a lot louder than what you say. And so you want to be a good testimony, especially with people that are not going away, your neighbors, your coworkers, your family members. They know you. Family members are oftentimes hard to win because they know you very well. They've watched you. You beat them up when they were little kids and things of that nature. So they remember those things. They remember how you are. They know your negative attributes. But be a good testimony. The next thing I want to share with you is remember that time will be a factor. Some people, they get saved right away. But some people, it takes a little more time for you to work with them. You've got to be patient. Don't ignore people. Don't try to not witness to someone the first time. If you can, do it. But some people, it takes a little while to get their heart softened. And there's a lot of things that I've given you this illustration before, but it's like an apple tree. An apple tree doesn't drop all of its apples on October 14th. It doesn't just October 14th, this time, they all fall to the ground. No, it's a process. Some of them, you come and you can just hit them and they'll fall right into your hand. They're ready. You just barely pull on it. It falls right in your hand. Others of them, you can hang on it and it's not going to come off. You know, some of them are bright red. Others of them are still green. They're not ready. They don't happen all at the same time. But the ones who are not ripe now, they need a little bit more water of God's Word. They need some storms to come through and cause them difficulties and make them a little more loosened to receive it. They need more sunshine of God's love and patience on their heart and life. There's things that are going on there. So in some cases, you're going to go up to the tree and they're going to get saved. There's two people sitting there. They've been waiting. The one guy's just the guy that Caleb told us about, and he was ready to get saved and then said, hey, let's go take it. I want you to tell my other friends about this. That's great. Those are a blessing. But they don't always. Some folks, you go up there and you pull like, hey, aren't you getting saved? No way. Okay, they need some more time. And you can't leapfrog time. You got to go through it. So, and then follow up with the people you win. If you win someone, ask God to help you. But sometimes I lead people to Christ on the plane. And it's very difficult to follow up with them and get their WhatsApp number, and they get my number, or I text them. I led a man to Christ who's a basketball coach, and his wife Lindsay, and I've been following up with them, but I don't get to talk to them as much. But I've written them letters, I've sent them pictures of their family with notes to them, trying to encourage them. They took their kids out of a public school, put them in the Christian school. They moved from the Lutheran church to another church because they wanted to get the truth of the Scriptures. They weren't learning from the Bible there. A lot of things are happening, but they live a long ways from me. I can't give them immediate attention like I can my friend who led to Christ some weeks ago there in Calumet City and another man over in Lansing. I live in their area. But I want to follow up with them. I want to get them in discipleship. Try to spend time one-on-one helping them. Have a man that got saved a few weeks ago and he finished the first four lessons of discipleship. I'll start discipling him this next week. He's got a job interview today I'm praying with him about, spending time texting him and finding out what time it's going to be, and then praying that God will help him as he transitions from one job to another job. Another man I spent time with, disciples, went through all 16 lessons of discipleship with him after he finished, with he and his brother. His brother now does the television or the camera on one of the nights of the services, and he does the switching now. But he's got a job interview this afternoon at 3:30. I'm praying for him. And discipleship is not just a book. It's one Christian sharing the life of Christ with another Christian. So we're keeping that in mind. And be passionate about both. Soul winning and discipleship. Sometimes I'll find people, all they are is just soul winners, soul winners, soul winners, soul winners, soul winners, and that's great. But I believe, and then some folks, all they do is disciple, 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 but it's a 1-2 thing. You can do much more effectively if you can just continue that pursuit personally and corporately as a church family. Let's pray together. Father, thank you very much for the opportunity to share these thoughts very quickly with our audience today. Help us, Lord, to be passionate about getting the gospel to others. Help me to be better at it. And I pray that, God, you would help me not to preach something I'm not willing to practice personally in my own heart and life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, help me know somebody who's not saved. They come to your mind's eye right now. Would you pray for them right now? Would you just ask God to save them? Ask God to use your influence to help them. Are you a good testimony at work? If you're not, why don't you tell God, no, I'm not. And I want to change that. I've not talked right. I've not lived right. I've not said the right thing. God, please forgive me. Help me be a good testimony. Maybe someone would say, dear Lord, help me to learn to disciple converts. Help me learn to help people grow after they get saved. I think that'd be a good thing to pray for. Our Father, I thank you once again for this opportunity. Thank you for the interested young people and staff and faculty that you've given us, Lord. Help us all to be more passionate about helping people come to know Christ. If it's your will that people get saved, and it is, if it's your work that makes it possible to get them to Jesus, help us to be laborers together with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.